In the book of Revelation, chapter 9, we continue our study this morning. Thank you for those specials in song, the good worship service. Brother Dale, I appreciate you, brother. I know he doesn't do it for me, and I don't want him to do it for me. But I sure am blessed as he leads our choir and leads our worship each Sunday. What a wonderful, wonderful blessing and asset to the church that he is. Revelation chapter 9, verse 13. Would you stand with me as we read from God's holy and precious word? Then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, "Release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates." So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year were released to kill a third of mankind. Now the number of the army of horsemen was 200 million, and I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision. Those who sat on them had breastplates of fiery red, hyacinth blue, and sulfur yellow. And the heads of the horses were like the heads of lions, and out of their mouths came fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed, by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which came out of their mouths, for their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails are like serpents, having heads, and with them they do harm. But the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of their works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold and silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. They did not repent of their murders, or their sorceries, or their sexual immorality, or their thefts. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, again we approach your throne of grace with thanksgiving. And Lord, we pray that you will open your word to our hearts today. Give us understanding and give us an urgency for those who do not know you as their personal Savior. Give us a zeal for the lost and the courage to share the gospel. Lord, I pray that now you would just, your hand would be upon me, that only the words that you want spoken will be spoken. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. It's like I said last week, you know, sometimes as I study this, if I'm not careful, you kind of get this down feeling, you know? Not depression maybe, but, and the reason is, it's not because it's not great stuff, it's because there's so much judgment being poured out upon mankind, and you know, the suffering that's going to be present in this time period, it's almost overwhelming, and my heart breaks knowing that there are people who do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior who's going to face this stuff. But then I back up and I'm reminded, hey, those who are on God's side win. And I do like being a winner. Amen. Listen, if you're a child of God, it's going to be all right. But if you're not a child of God, take warning. Because the judgment of God is real and the judgment is coming. And this morning, we look at the sixth trumpet. And we see, or John hears four voices. He hears a voice from the four horns of the golden altar. Now, in the Old Testament, there were two altars related with temple worship. There was one in the outer court where the sacrifice was made, and there was one in the inner court before the Holy of Holies. And that's the one that's referred to here. And on that altar, there were four horns. And in this text, we see a voice coming from those four horns. Now, whose voice is it? I'm not sure. And I'm not sure that it's even relevant. That's not the point. But I do know, interesting enough, that the number four is relevant. Okay? You see, there is a universality about that number four. Okay? Seven is the number of perfection, completion, right? It's the number of God. Six is the number of man. Okay? Remember the man that's going to come, we'll get to 666, the beast, the mark of the beast. Well, here, this number four is a number of universality. Matter of fact, if you go back to Revelation chapter 7, verse 1, we referred to the four angels standing at the four corners of the earth. Okay? The extremities. And that's the idea here, is the universal power, or the power over the universe. The reminder from the very beginning is this, that, hey, God is in control. You know what? Nothing happens by accident. I've heard people talk about, well, I was just lucky. There's no such thing as luck. Okay? We have a God that's in control, and He is orchestrating every event in this life. I do not believe in fate. I do not believe in accidents. I do not believe in luck. There is a God that is in control and taking care of all of it. And that's what we're reminded from the very beginning here, is that God is still on His throne. And as we look here, John hears the command of the voice coming from the four horns. The command was to release the four angels that have been bound for a day, a month, a year, an hour. That have been bound in the great river Euphrates. And again, I'm reminded of the word angel. Okay? You remember what the word angel means? Messenger. Are you with me? Say amen if you're with me. Because you need to get this part. See, every time we see angel, we have a tendency to go out there and think of this nice little winged creature flying around. But the word angel means messenger. So when you see that word angel, you're reminded that, hey, God's got a message. And that's what's happening here. God has prepared these four angels, these four messengers, for this time period, and that is a message of judgment. You know, I dare say most people don't believe in judgment today. It's, you know, I dare say that people, you know, don't think that there is actually coming a day where we're going to stand accountable before God. But whether you believe it or not, we are. Amen. There is coming a day of judgment. And as you preach and as you teach that concept of judgment today, the world looks and they laugh and they scour. But listen, the message here is that judgment cometh. Okay? Judgment is coming. If you'll notice, they are prepared. These angels are prepared for an hour, a day, a month, and a year. Meaning, these four messengers, angels, have been prepared for this specific time, for this specific event in history. And they've been reserved in chains, the Bible says. God's been holding them back ever since the creation. They're waiting to fulfill their purpose. And grab this, okay? Their purpose is to kill one-third of mankind, according to what we just read. One-third of all the people of the world shall have their life taken away by this dreadful plague that we read about today. They've been especially prepared. These angels have been especially prepared. And let's take just a moment and look at their army. Okay? Their army that's going to accompany them. 200 million. Now, listen, I'm a dumb old country boy. Not only that, I'm from Des Arc, Arkansas, which is where I was educated. I have trouble getting my mind around a number like 200 million. Okay? I can't imagine that. But the number of this army being 200 million that's going to go out, and their point is to kill and to destroy. That's a lot of people. Okay? Now, who's the army? I've heard people who have the idea and the concept that this is going to be an earthly army. China themselves even brag or boast of the fact that they can field a 200 million man army. Okay? I don't know if they can or not. I don't think this is a human army. I think this is an army of demons. All right? And the reason I think that is actually for two reasons, okay? It's first of all, the description. When you look at the description of what they are, and you know their breastplates of fiery red and blue and sulfur yellow, and the fire that's going out of their mouths, and their tails like the head of a snake, I've never seen any kind of creatures like this, okay? And as I said before, I'm more literal. Okay, I'm literal instead of symbolic. When the Bible says something, if it doesn't say it was like, I think it's talking about what it's talking about. All right. I also believe that it's a demon army because God's pouring out His judgment, and that man needs to know that it is a judgment from God. There needs to, at this point, there needs to be no question whatsoever where this is coming from. Okay? There needs to be no explanation. Yeah? Because if man can, if we can, we'll excuse anything away. Yeah? Well, it's just circumstance or happenstance. No. This is God. As He pours out His judgment upon the earth. Out of their mouth, the mouths of the horses, the heads of the horses. Look at them. Their heads are like the heads of a lion. Now this is one ugly horse. Amen. I can't imagine. I've seen a lion and I've seen a horse, but I've never seen a horse with a lion's head. But this is what it's going to look like. Out of their mouth came fire and smoke and brimstone. Oh, this is, I mean, this is horror stuff. Do you ever watch horror movies? You know, kids, they kind of like those gory horror movies. I don't like gory horror movies. They scare me. You know? But folks, this is as bad as, I mean, this is horrible stuff. Okay? I want you to understand the graphic seriousness of this judgment as God releases these angels and they take their 200 million man army and they begin to pour out their carnage upon the earth. And I want you to, their job will be to kill one third of mankind. How many is that? Well, there are estimated 6.97 billion people in the world today. Once again, I refer back to being a dumb old country boy. I can't even begin to. I can't imagine how much a billion is. Can you? I can't wrap my mind around numbers like that. But in looking at, if there's almost 7 billion people in the world today, their purpose, the purpose of these angels in this army, will be to kill 2.3 billion people. I still can't get my arm, you know. So, we looked up the population of North America. North America is, of course, Alaska, Canada, United States, and Mexico. You know how many people are in North America? 500 million. Oh, we just barely scratched the surface. Okay? 500 million people in North America. So we went on down to South America. You know, Peru and Venezuela and all those countries down there below us. 300 million people. Well, that's 800 million. We're not close yet. The population of Europe is 700 million. Now, if you took those three continents and put all that together, that's 1.5 billion people, you'd still be 800 million people short. I cannot imagine the death and destruction that's going to be poured out upon this world as this army is released. Okay? It's like taking the United States, every person in the United States of America, and wiping them out three times. You know? Now that just puts it in a little better perspective for me. And reminds me how serious God is as He releases this judgment, the plagues of fire, of smoke, and of brimstone. And you know, if you look, the word plagues that's mentioned there in verse 20, but the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues, that word plague literally means a blow that's laid on with a whip. Okay? So if you make it plural, it literally means a beating. What's God doing? Trying to open the eyes of mankind. And literally He's calling it, hey, this is a beating. As 2.3 billion people are put to death, man is just repeatedly pounded and pounded and pounded by this army led by these four messengers. And look what happens. But the rest of verse 20, but the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues, and get this, did not repent of the works of their hands. At what point do you wake up? You know? And I don't mean to be, I really don't mean to be sarcastic and to be negative. But listen, there are consequences to our choices. One of the things I think that hurts our children today is when we as parents try to continually bail them out of everything. And they don't come to realize that, hey, there are consequences to my actions. Listen, there are consequences to rejecting God. Right now, we live in an age of grace, an age of mercy. We're here because God loves us. And the judgment, you know, we haven't reached this point yet, not because God is forgetful, not because God is not going to do it, but because God is long-suffering toward us, not willing, according to the Word of God, that any should perish. God's desire is that you do not face this. But they did not repent. They did not turn around as God pours out His wrath. And I believe they know who it's coming from. I don't believe there's a doubt whatsoever. But they continued their evil ways. And let's look at what it said their evil ways were. Why would God pour out such judgment? Well, evil has just been growing and growing, and sin has been compounding and compounding, you know, over time. They continued to worship demons. What's a demon? Well, a demon is a heathen god. What's he talking about? False religions. They continued in their false religion. Have you noticed that man worships something? And it doesn't matter how ludicrous or how preposterous that it is. It seems like the more left-wing that it is, the more followers that a false religion will get. They continued to worship their demons. They continued to worship idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood. And what's it talking about? It's talking about the images. You ever seen someone bow down before an image? Let me tell you something. God never intended for us to worship an image. Okay? Whether it's a statue of Mary or a statue of a cross or something like that, God never intended for us to pour out our worship before a man-made statue. Okay? Those who worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. The idea of the age of faith that we're living in today is that we don't have to see it to know that God is real. You know? Do you realize that we don't have to have this building to worship? I hope you worship outside this building. You know, people have the concept, well, you got to have a church building. Well, you know, first of all, a building's just a building. It doesn't make it a church. Okay? And it is a designated place of worship. But this building does not make the worship. Oh, I was so blessed this morning by our worship. You know? We got some of our pianists are out of pocket this morning. But let me tell you something. You know what true worship is? You know where true worship comes from? True worship comes from the heart. Okay? Do you realize that you can experience true worship on the back porch of your house? You can. While driving, going down the road, you know, driving, that you can experience true worship right there in your car. The people that pass by you may think you're crazy because you're talking to yourself, but that's okay. You're not talking to them. They continued to worship their idols, their statues. They did not repent of their murders. Murders, of course, taking of innocent life. You know what that is? You know, as I went down this list, I'm thinking, oh my. Oh my. Oh my. Because this describes where we are. They didn't repent of their murders. Do you realize the last number I heard was like 4,000 unborn babies a day are murdered in the name of abortion? I cannot imagine. Let me just... Abortion is murder. And there's no way to dress it up. Listen, it's taking an innocent life. And you may have made a bad decision. Okay? And made some wrong decisions that you wish you had not made. But listen, don't compound the wrong decision by entertaining abortion as an option. Okay? That's murder. And I understand there could be people here who've been affected by that or even made that wrong decision. Let me tell you, I understand God can forgive that and He will forgive, all right? But listen to me. It's murder. It's murder. And we keep going down this list. They did not repent of their sorceries. You know what the Greek word for sorceries is? Pharmakon. It's where we get our word pharmacology. Drugs. What he's talking about is drugs, witchcraft, and casting spells, and I mean, it includes horoscopes, psychics, and palm readers that are being passed off today as gifted people. Let me tell you something. Don't go to psychics. Don't go to the palm readers, because if they're real, they're not of God. Okay? I don't think they know what they're messing with, and I know most of the people that go to them don't know what they're messing with. Okay? The horoscopes, tear that out of your newspaper. Don't even give that a second thought. All right? You see, as we started out in the beginning, I mentioned the God that's in control of this universe and He's orchestrating everything. I don't need some kind of satanic ritual to try to tell me the future. I know how it's going to end. Okay? They didn't repent of their sorceries. They're drugs. And you know the drug problem that we have in the country today, in the world today. I took a mission trip to New Mexico a couple of years ago. And you know, me being the fellow that I am, I love to go out and pick up the little Indian children, you know, and bring them to our vacation Bible school. So we'd go out there and pick them up, and boy, just having a great time. So I went up to this one door, and I knocked on the door, and this Indian man, American Indian man, came to the door. And I introduced myself. I'm Doug Hambrick. I'm a pastor, and we're having vacation Bible school. We'd like your children to come. He said, no. No? He's the first one told me no. And you know how preachers are. We don't take no for, you know, very well. And so anyway, I said, well, you know, we'd sure love for them to come. And he said, no, it's white man's religion. And I said, well, you know, I don't know where you got that, but we teach Jesus Christ, and Jesus is for everyone. No matter if you're white or an Indian or black or red, blue or purple, whatever, you know. And I said, you know, I'd like to talk to you about Jesus sometime. He said, I have Indian religion. He said, we meet every Friday night. Me and elders meet every Friday night. And he said, I'd invite you to come. I said, oh, yeah? I thought, well, this may be an option. He said, you come and you take peyote with me. And then you can tell us about your Jesus. You know what peyote is, right? It's one of those hallucinogens, LSD kind of stuff. I told him, friend, I'm sure if I took your peyote, there wouldn't be much talk about Jesus, because I wouldn't know what I was talking about. But you know, it reminded me, the world is looking for a spiritual experience. And they're using things in the name of religion, like drugs. You want to know why drugs are such a problem in the world today? It's because people are looking for that experience. They want that experience. And you talk about marijuana and things like that. Well, Brother Doug, marijuana is not so bad because you don't hallucinate. No, let me tell you something. Marijuana is a stepping stone. Okay? It's just a stepping stone. You will not stay there very long if you're smoking pot. All right? Quit it. Amen? Just lay it out. Quit it. All right? You're messing things up because you're going to take the step. But anyway, the reason people do drugs is for the feeling, for the experience. Listen, let me tell you the experience that you need. You need a dose of salvation with the love of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, you don't lose control of yourself. And it's a love that you'll never get over. Listen. As we go down this list, I see our country, our world more and more. They didn't repent of their sorceries. They did not repent of their sexual sin. That word sexual, the Greek word's porneia. Never guess where we get, what word we get that. Pornography, of course. And it includes all sexual sins. Sex outside of marriage and anything else you want to tack on top of it. I find it amazing that, you know, we live in a world today that Fifth Amendment rights allow us to have pornography magazines all over the place in the name of the Fifth Amendment and freedom of speech. Oh, but you bring out the Bible and we're infringing on the rights of other people as we try to put the Bible in public view. How sad. As I went down this list, I was reminded, man, we're not far away If this was the problems that and the reasons that for the judgment of God being poured out upon mankind, my goodness, we're there. We've got it cornered. Oh, listen. Jesus is real. God is real. And it's not a big game. God created man for His honor and for His glory. Since creation, man has rebelled. And we have, went our own way. Each man doing what was right in his own eyes. But listen. The good news is that we are living in the age of grace right now. I mean, this that we talked about, I mean, we're in judgment then. But right here, right now, we live in the age of grace. And the call goes out, come unto me. You who are weary and heavy laden, come unto me. Oh, Brother Doug, you don't understand. I've been really, really bad. That's all right. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know? You're not so bad that the love of God and the blood of Christ can't cleanse you from your unrighteousness. The good news is that God loves you and wants to save you and wants to keep you from this judgment. And not just about escaping judgment, but folks, it's about a day-to-day relationship of walking with God. You know, you do understand, or do you understand? Some people don't. I think some people, religion is just an idea of showing up on Sunday and not worrying about it until they have to go back on next Sunday. Listen. Being a Christian is not about showing up on Sunday. Being a Christian is about walking with God 7 days a week. And the wonderful thing about Jesus Christ as your Savior is He's always there. You know? I mean, you've got troubles. He's there. Is life good? He's there. You need a hand? He's there. Question is, are you saved? The Bible says, whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen, today's the day. I don't know, when's all this going to happen, Brother Doug? I don't know. But I know it's coming. And I think judging by the times that we live in and what we see going on, I think we're knocking on the door. But listen, we've got today. Are you a child of God? Have you received the good news of Jesus Christ? Have you called upon Him as your personal Savior? If not, I beg you. Listen, I beg you. Do it today. Do it today. Call upon Him. We're going to have a verse of invitation. I'd invite you to come up. If you don't quite understand, I'd be glad to share with you. But it's not walking an aisle that saves you. Okay? It's giving your heart to Jesus. Asking Him to save you. Okay? That's where the change begins. So if you've never made that commitment, will you come after this prayer? Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for the day. I thank You for the age of grace that we live in today. And I thank You for Your call. That goes out to all men. And I pray, Lord, that today, for those who've never made a commitment, those who've never given their life to You, I pray that today will be the day that they step up and give their life to You. And Lord, those of us who are saved, help us to have an urgency for the times in which we live, to see lost souls saved, to share Your gospel. I pray, Lord, that in this invitation now, Your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.